Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, October 11th, 2012. Does hell exist? Well, tonight's guest was part of a production team for a documentary that explores this very question. Scriptwriter Kevin Miller, who's from Abbotsford, worked with a group, an eclectic group of authors, theologians, pastors, and social commentators to come up with a documentary. The website says it will make sure that you never look at hell the same way again. Kevin's on the phone with us tonight to talk about Hellbound, and you got to remember that Hellbound has a question mark at the end, which will show in the Waterloo region later this month. But before we get to our interview, let's listen to Objects in the Mirror from Jay Calder's Breakfast with Barnabas CD. Now to our interview with Kevin Miller. Good evening, Kevin.
Hey, how are you doing?
Not bad. Just before we get to Hellbound, let's give our listener a little bit of background about you. I know we talked about a year ago, back when you were starting on this and that, but let's remind them about how did you get your start as a writer?
I actually got my start as a writer in a small town in northern Saskatchewan called Meadow Lake. I was a newspaper reporter, and moved from there into book publishing when I moved out to BC, and I worked as a writer, a staff writer and editor for several years, and then eventually into freelance writing. And the whole time I was working in book publishing and magazine writing and that sort of thing, I was dreaming of becoming a screenwriter. And it wasn't actually until I took a sabbatical with my wife and two young children, we went and did something called a discipleship training school over in Hawaii with Youth of the Mission. And that's when I met the film director, David Cunningham, and we kind of hit it off, and I pitched him some ideas, and next thing I knew, we were off on a plane flying to Moscow to go do some urban exploring under the city as background research for my first movie.
Now, what was attracting you to screenwriting? Why all throughout those years as you were, doing book publishing and journalism and that, did you have this dream of becoming a screenwriter?
Well, I think like a lot of people, you just become fascinated by movies and Hollywood and that sort of thing. And definitely for me as a kid, I was really fascinated by science fiction and fantasy. So it wasn't just movies, it was also comic books. And I loved the medium. And so even as a kid, I would, attempt to write my own comics and movie scripts and that sort of thing. But, there's a funny thing. I grew up in a small town called Foam Lake, Saskatchewan. And you just don't believe that there's actually a road that leads from Foam Lake to Hollywood. And so as much as you dream of doing that sort of thing, you almost disqualify yourself from the race because you go, well, how could a person like me ever do it? But then you got to think, but people that kind of inspire me are people even like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was a, an Austrian kid who grew up in a small town in Austria, and suddenly he's the governor of California. I mean, you can't disqualify yourself where you are or even who you are. And it took me a long time to learn that, to really have the boldness to say, you know what, maybe I can do this too, and to really try and go for it.
Yeah, and Schwarzenegger was a skinny little kid from Austria, and he went from there into bodybuilding and a few Mr. Universe championships and parlayed that into into action films and then ultimately the political career.
Yeah, and so if he had been a little boy in Austria saying, well, I'm not an American, I guess I can't do that, you know, then who knows what he would have done. And maybe some people would say, well, maybe that's what he should have said to me. But, you know, the point is that I think that we can put roadblocks in our way that aren't necessarily there. They're almost mental roadblocks. And so it's almost like Neo in the Matrix, you know, you have to stop believing that the Matrix controls you and that, you know, maybe there's a path that you're being called to walk. And so I think, you know, it took a long time. I think anyone who's a creative person, you always harbor these dreams in your heart, but testing them up against the real world, it can be a very scary proposition. So I think sometimes it's safer not to really try because at least you haven't failed. And I can tell you one of the most agonizing nights of my life was the day that I handed off my screenwriting samples to David Cunningham, the director, because mm-hmm. he was at the time, you know, a very hot young director about to make it in Hollywood, you know, being courted by all the big studios and everything. And here I am, some guy from Abbotsford, you know, who am I to think that he would want to work on my stuff? So submitting my dream to reality was terrifying, and I never anticipated that, you know. And it took several days for him to get back to me, so it was agony, because you really feel like you're taking all of your dreams and putting them on the table, and are they going to get squashed, or are they going to be given life?
Well, I think the other thing that comes into play for us as Christians as well is the fact that if we've sensed that this is where God is calling us, then we sort of have to continue with that despite what we may see as the roadblocks. And you know, like you said, you're a young kid from Foam Lake, Saskatchewan. You know, James Cameron didn't come from Foam Lake, Saskatchewan. But as long as we're following what God is calling us to do, that adds a dimension of, confidence that you know, we're going where we're supposed to be going.
Yeah, and I'm definitely having to call on that right now with Hellbound, because, you know, right from the beginning, I started working on this project. I resolved I was going to do it in January of 2011, because I was about to turn 40, and I just figured, you know what, if I'm not going to go after some of these dreams in my mind now, when am I going to do it? So 40 was the impetus to say, let's do it. And at the time, though, I had no money to be able to do it, and I, you know, had no idea how I was going to pull it off, but I started acting as if it was going to happen, because I just felt so called. I just felt so certain in my mind that this is what I was supposed to do, that I can say that even though I had times of anxiety before we got funded, I never really doubted that it was going to happen. And I would book interviews and do all this kind of stuff as if we had all of the money, but we didn't have it. But it came exactly when we needed it. And now, as we're out, like right now, I'm traveling back and forth across America, promoting the film and showing up and doing as many question and answer screenings as I can. And I'm going to be honest and say that the numbers that we're getting into theaters aren't what I had expected. And it's sometimes we've sold out. You know, we just in Pasadena we sold out two screenings, which was great, and had a, you know, super great time. In other places, we might have had a couple dozen people, you know, I've traveled a long way to get there, and we've done everything we can to promote it, and still, that's the number of people that show up. It can be disheartening, but
yeah.
Just got an email from someone this morning, just trying to encourage me to say, you know, what you're doing is important, and I really feel, I continue to feel that this is what God has called me to do, that this is a conversation that needs to happen, and that the film Hellbound can really facilitate that. So I'm just trying to let all that slide off me and just continue to kind of, you know, keep my eyes fixed on the goal and just putting one step ahead of each other.
Well, I want to get into some details about Hellbound and how it all came about and everything. But before we do, we're going to have to take a quick break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Hellbound screenwriter Kevin Miller. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection, and you've been listening to Passion from Trevor Dick's Yahweh CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Kevin Miller, who's the screenwriter for Hellbound. Just before we went to break, you were talking a little bit about getting into Hellbound. You're 40. This was a dream, that you had, a calling you had, and you wanted to do it. Why Hellbound? Why a film about hell?
Well, before I answer that, I would say I'm not just the screenwriter on the film. I actually, this is also part of a dream come true in that I, I'm producer of the film and director of the film. So, I mean, and also raising the money, and we're actually acting as distributor, too. So, you know, the dream of every creative person is full authorship, and I can say that's something I've been able to fulfill from the initial idea down to what the movie poster should look like and what cities we should open in. So it's been really, really fun. But yeah, why make a movie about hell? I think that I could say in a general way, the impetus for this movie goes back to the summer I became a Christian when I was 9 years old. And I came home from Bible camp, and I was on the farm in Foam Lake, and I remember looking out at my family working in the garden one evening and realizing, oh my gosh, if they don't learn what I've just learned, they're all going to go to hell. And I just remember just a sick feeling in my stomach. And the problem was is that I knew my parents kind of secretly mocked our evangelical neighbors because they wouldn't work on Sunday. And, you know, my dad would rev his tractor extra loud on Sunday just to let them know. You know, that's a big deal in Saskatchewan, you know, because if you lose a day of harvest, that's a big deal. And so they kind of ridiculed them a little bit. And so as a 9-year-old kid, I'm not about to just tell my parents, yeah, I'm now one of those folks. And so here I am caught really in a double bind because I'm worried they're going to go to hell, but I'm too afraid to tell them. So all I could do is sort of silently pray that somehow God would get the message to them. But I think that, you know, as much as I so appreciate the people who shared the gospel with me and really poured their lives into me in the years to follow, I think that something, I liken it to a parasite of fear that crept in with the host, which was the gospel, which was something really good news. But there's also something fearful that follows it, that if you don't conform to the good news, something bad is going to happen to you. And so I think this is a conflict that's really percolated underneath my Christian faith my entire life, and that has always been a problem for me. And so what happened was about 4 years ago, I edited a book for a friend of mine named Brad Jursak, and the book is called Her Gates Will Never Be Shut, Hope, Hell, and the New Jerusalem. And it was a book where Brad is trying to work through these issues of hell as well. He'd come from a similar background as me. And it was so, I mean, this wasn't the only thing, but it was really the spark that set the fire for this film. I guess that's a kind of a weird analogy to use. But it was where Brad goes to the Bible, and he says, well, if we're going to be biblical about what we believe about hell, let's really be biblical, but let's listen to everything the Bible has to say, not just what suits our own predispositions. And when you do that, it's actually a really fascinating exercise when you look at all the words that have been translated as hell, because the first thing you learn is hell is not in the Bible. It's a number of other words like Sheol and Gehenna and Hades that are translated as hell. And then you look at all the different images of judgment, and you look at the tradition, how tradition has interpreted that over the centuries. What you come away with is realizing that the Bible doesn't just say one thing about this. I would say it doesn't really say one thing about anything. What you see in the Bible is what you would expect to find in a theological library, is all kinds of people saying all kinds of different things, and that there's actually a really fascinating conversation that is in the text itself and has been continuing throughout history. And I really felt it was important to make a film that helped people enter into that conversation, because I think a lot of people like me, they grow up, they get taught this view of hell, that if you reject Jesus, you're going to suffer for eternity. And even though you might be uneasy with that, you feel, well, if I reject that means I have to stop being a Christian. And what I want to do is make a film to say, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's ever been true, and I don't think it's true today. And so what we do is we outline three families of views. You have what I would call infernalism, which is eternal torment. You have annihilationism, which is the idea that the wicked aren't, they don't suffer forever, they're destroyed. And then you have universalism, which is the idea that all people will ultimately be reconciled to God.
Well, and looking at that whole universalism aspect, you began the film around the time Rob Bell's book Love Wins came out, and that was one of the arguments that was going around with him, was he was espousing universalism. Was Hellbound a response to that book as well? Was that part of what was going on as you were starting to formulate what was happening with the movie?
Well, this is where you know, when I was talking earlier about how do you know you're on the right path, or, you know, that you're actually following a calling, and the thing that convinced me more than anything was the timing. Like, I'd had this idea in the fall of 2008. I finally start putting the wheels in motion in January 2011. About 6 to 8 weeks later, suddenly news breaks about Love Wins. And by April of that year, Rob Bell and Hell were on the cover of Time magazine. So, I mean, think about that. I had no idea Rob Bell was doing that book. And when I started, you know, making my film, and I was kind of wondering, how am I going to convince people that Hell is something we need to be talking about right now? Well, Time magazine did the work for me. And it was so amazing, because what it did was it not only put the subject in the public consciousness, it also brought all these people out of the woodwork who had a dog in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So it helped me identify who are some of the most influential voices in this, where's the flashpoint of this debate. So I wouldn't say the film is a response to Rob Bell, but I will say that the whole Love Wins phenomenon definitely helped shape a lot of how we approach the film. Because really what the film is doing is saying, it really begins by saying, by portraying a group of people who are absolutely certain that there's one way and only one way to look at this, and if you question it, well, essentially you're no longer part of us. But then the second part of the film deconstructs that idea to say, is that really true? Has it ever been true? And we also then take a serious look at the argument for universalism. And I would say this is the problem with universalism, is that people don't quite understand what it means. It doesn't mean that all religions lead to God. What it means is that it's very Christ-centered and biblically based. And so the Christian universalists will argue that all people will be reconciled to God through Christ. Some people, maybe all of us, will have to go through hell to get there. But that any sort of post-mortem punishment we would experience would be restorative rather than punitive. And so it really comes down to a question of, is punishment, can it ever be an end in itself, or will it always be a means to an end? And if it is an end to itself, if there's going to be a group of people that will forever be in torment or will be extinguished, how do you reconcile that with the notion of a God who is, by his very nature, loving? And so these are, I think, really, really important questions that cut to the foundation of Christianity. And so, you know, I think people are wise to be afraid of asking questions about hell, because everything suddenly is on the table. But I don't think that's anything to be afraid of. I just think it's vitally important, because I think the church is always reforming itself. It's always responding to new cultural conditions, new issues that need to be addressed. And I think that when I independently arrive at the need for a film about hell, Rob Bell, unbeknownst to me, is dealing with that, and a whole flood of books come out that year. This is clearly something that needs to be addressed right now. And so I think it's, for those who are trying to shut down the conversation, I would say, no, we need to let it happen, and we need to let it happen out in the open. Because if we try to just mask over this, it's going to go underground, and I think it's going to manifest in ways that aren't healthy.
Yeah, and because we're focusing on the arts on this show, I'm going to leave the whole theological discussion to one side. But looking at that, though, and I mean, and I hate keeping referring to Rob Bell's book, but there was a whole lot of stuff that went on around that. There was criticism. There were people that were, and like you said, some of this helped you identify who the major players were that you could interview for the film. What has been the reception of Hellbound? How have you got the same kind of reception that Rob Bell has got, or is it still too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell. Like, number one, I'm not famous like Rob Bell. So he, you know, had a 10,000 member church and, you know, best-selling author and had a lot of influence out there. So when he suddenly comes out with a book that is friendly to universalism, that's a big deal. Whereas I don't have that kind of a public persona. So the film, I think, is regarded differently. And I think the film is actually evaluated more on its own merits as opposed to the person who made it, which I think might be an advantage. We've gotten some backlash. Like Christianity Today, panned the film, which is funny because you know, I'm pitching the film as come see the movie that Christianity, panned by Christianity Today, but lauded by the New York Times, the LA Times, Variety, the Huffington Post. And, you know, so much of the evil secular media actually has, and I'm saying that facetiously.
Yeah, so like Christianity doesn't like it, but the secular world does.
Well, yeah, and I'm like, boy, I'll take that as a feather in my hat, because I would say the religious establishment didn't like much of what Jesus had to say either, but everyone else seemed to like it. So, you know, it's, so there has been some backlash on an official level, and I get the occasional comment or email. You know, I had some people kind of come after me pretty strongly on my blog and that sort of thing, but you know what, I've been going to a number of screenings all across the U.S. Doing Q&A, and I would say that the reception has been overwhelmingly positive. I was just at a screening two nights ago in San Diego, and I asked at the end, so what's the one thing you're going to take away from this film? And there was a professor at a Christian college. He put up his hand and says, I'm going to show this to every class every semester. I think this is vitally important. And, you know, we've got that kind of a response over and over and over again. So, of course, there's always going to be critics pointing out flaws and weaknesses in the film, and I accept that. It's not a perfect film, but I think that the spirit of the response has been good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I need to do one final break, and when we do, we'll come back and finish up our conversation with Hellbound script writer, producer, chief cook, and bottle washer, Kevin Miller. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Abigail from the Breakfast with Barnabas CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with Kevin Miller. Kevin, you just mentioned you've been busy doing film festivals and openings and stuff like that. Is the rush to promote Hellbound over yet?
No. We started releasing in the United States on September 21st, and we opened in Canada on October 12th. So actually what's happening is... I'm just really gearing up for massive publicity and a tour across Canada as well. We're going to open in Vancouver and Langley on the 12th, and then make our way out across the country. So opening in the Prairie Provinces on October 19th, and then in Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal on the 26th. And then what we're looking at doing is a multi-city one-night event on November 7th. And so we're hoping to get it in Kitchener-Waterloo that night and a number of other smaller centers across the country. So yeah, no, this is far from being over.
Right. Well, once it's probably too far to think about what's next, but I know if most creative people, that once they're done one project or halfway through it, they've already got an idea for what's going on next. Have you got an idea what you're going to do later?
Yeah, I've looked at a number of different things. Film-wise, I think after looking at Hell, I think likely if I were to do a sort of sequel to this film as a documentary, I think I would want to do something that looks at different views of the atonement, because I think that your view of hell is usually an outworking of your view of the atonement. So mm-hmm. I think that would make actually for a fascinating follow-up to this film. On the narrative side, I actually have optioned a novel by Frank Schaefer, who's the son of Francis Schaefer, and he's a writer, you know, New York Times bestselling author, and he's got a new novel, a coming-of-age story that I would love to adapt to film. And I've got ideas for book projects and that sort of thing. But yeah, right now I'm so in the thick because, you know, we made this film, but I'm also helping manage the release of the film.
Right.
That I'm so in the thick of that right now that I see these projects in my future, but it's still a little bit cloudy right now.
Right. Well, how can people find out more about Hellbound and when it may end up in this area?
The best place to go is our website. It's hellboundthemovie.com. So hellboundthemovie.com. We also have a Facebook page and that. And on the website, you'll find a list of all our upcoming theaters. I've got a blog on there that I keep posting news and that sort of thing. And actually, something people have really appreciated is we have a very extensive resource page there that has dozens of books on the topic. We've got websites, all sorts of things. So if people are looking for a one-stop clearinghouse to introduce them to this discussion, I think our website's a really good place to start.
Great. Well, Kevin, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thank you to my guest, Kevin Miller. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.